that's the sound of another sale on Shopify, in store. Shopify POS is everything you need to sell in person. From payments to inventory, Shopify unites your sales into one commerce platform. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail23. Shopify.com/retail23.
Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast. We have another women's teams preview going through three of the strongest teams outside of SD Works, which we dropped last week. Those teams being Lidl Trek. Can we get some clarification, Benji? What is the official, I should ask a German probably, but yeah. What is Lidl? How do you pronounce Lidl? Is it Lidl, not Lidl?
Well, I am a West Flemish person, so when I say we go to the Lidl, I say...
Oh, so you say like me.
We say, well, honor the Lidl.
Oh, so me and you are in accordance.
Yes, and all the rest doesn't matter, right?
Exactly, okay. Well, we don't...
Lidl sounds stupid.
Scrap that, no outside fit. Yeah, Lidl is so much harder to say. Like,
yeah.
So anyway, we'll take that under advisement, maybe, but me and you are in alignment on this issue. We'll be going through them as well as Team Movistar. They obviously had the GOAT retire. So that's a big transition period for them next year. What changes does that mean for the team, as well as Canyon SRAM, sort of the upstarts with a lot of young talent. And some of that young talent is already performing at a very high level. 2023 was the first year we really saw them kick back up. They hadn't won for a number of years, and they're back winning. I expect that to continue. So we're going to go through these three teams. We'll start with Lidl Trek. How was their 2023 season, Benji? I seem to remember this time last year, I was saying, I think they can sort of be the rival to SD Works Pro Time. That didn't end up happening, but how was the season overall?
Yeah, it's like, it was the team that in 2022, I would have indicated as the rivaling team to SD Works, but whenever the transfer from Kopecky to SD Works hit before last season, I in my head just never believed that Balsamo could deliver the same level of backup to the other leaders. Does that make sense? As in, let's say you have a cobble leader, you attack with your cobble leader. Kopecky is significant with Wibus attached to that. So you got those two plus Vollering. I was a bit less bullish than you might have been last year, but it's also I kind of expected them to do more regardless. As in 14 victories, that's still quite a bit of victories. And across the board throughout the year, they had a solid season in GCs, I would say. 6 Wilter wins only. I'd expect more, but we got to keep in mind, Ellen van Dijk is not riding. Balsamo was injured for half of the year. I think she crashed in the Ride London Classic halfway through the season. She broke her left scaphoid and her left and right mandibula, is that a part of a body?
Mandibles in your jaw, I think.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Close enough. I invented a body part. But anyway, I would say that when it comes to those things, those victories, we're looking at Van Androy stepping up. That's a big one. First in Alfredo Binda, then first into Lavanier, which is actually not listed as like a UCI victory for the World Tour team. But when it comes to all the other things, I'm seeing ELB. She won UAE Tour ahead of Gaia Realini plus a stage. She got second at LBL. She got third at Flesh. Add to that in Amstel, Van Androy got third. Second, Brugge de Panne was Balsamo. So at the one-day races, they didn't win much, but they were close. And I feel like that's the same with GCs, right? Because Tour de France Femme, I would say that for Longoborghini, getting third or podiuming is the best you can get going into it. So I wasn't expecting her to win. So her getting fourth is not necessarily a pure downside either. I would expect her to finish third, fourth, somewhere around there, somewhere between 3 and 5 position. And I feel like outside of the Tour de France Femme, they delivered similar results, right? Giro Donna La Vuelta?
Yeah, I think so. And to your point on Longoborghini, don't you think she reminds me of like Stieber or someone that's really good in a strong system team, but okay. is when you then pair her with other, like a good classic-y sprinter, she becomes even more lethal, where she can attack ahead and you have the sprinter sitting in behind. But then without that, and LBL's a perfect example, she goes to the line with Vollering with no prospect of winning, but that she had to ride because there was no one behind.
I agree with your take on Longo Borghini, but I don't get the Stibar comparison.
Oh, well, if you put him as a sole leader in his prime, not on Quickstep.
Yeah, yeah. But that's what a lot of Quickstep riders are in that era.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, not the best flat. Best flat sprint. Anyone Strada? Is she on Strada? And obviously they had things like Ellen Van Dijk went on maternity leave. Elizabeth Dyke, controversial Elizabeth Dyke, then came back from maternity leave.
And it was good.
She did race. Yeah, she was solid. 40 World's race days.
Sixth.
True.
I didn't expect that, genuinely. But it's also
especially when you look at the rest of her season.
True, but it's also, I would expect her to have like a period where she needs to come back to the level to deliver at the top step.
Yeah.
Coming sixth at World's Road Race, and that was a really hard race. That means that she can get to the level she was before in my head. And then I said GCs, like fourth at Tour de France Femme, but third at Giro d'Anne with ELB, once again, consistent stage win there as well. Third in GC at La Vuelta with Rialini, and that's with the weaknesses that Rialini has in her rider physique, as in, on the sense, she's kind of fucked in Echelon, she's kind of fucked. So she has to do it with the climbing, and that's also shown in Lavenir that she, if I recall, ended up losing from Van... Am I stupid? No. I don't know if it was Rialini. That was it. Probably not. Anyway, that putting that aside...
Rialini did too, Lavenir.
Did she? Okay, yeah, then I might have been right.
She came third in GC, Van Anroy won.
Yeah, I think Van Anroy and Van Empel did something on a descent somewhere and fucked her over. But anyway... UAE Tour, 1-2, we said it already. Burgos second in GC with Van Anroy. Is it me or has Van Anroy stepped up fully? Like, not just in individual races like Trofeo Binda, but also getting a podium at, was it Amstel? And then coming close in like Burgos and getting a bit closer in GCs. I feel like it's a serious step up and we need to start considering her as an outsider for a big race next year.
Yeah, and she's clearly no longer like that. That young rider who comes to the front during a major classic and pulls on the front, and then you're like, wow, it's so good. They're pulling so deep into the race that, you know, they're one to watch in the future. No, she's like now actually top five in those races. And she's only 21 years old, turning 22 in a couple of weeks. So I think, she's a huge, huge talent. When did she fully, because she's been on Trek for a while.
Mm-hmm.
2021, she did 40 race days. I'm just trying to figure out when did she stop. She's like CX properly, but I guess maybe she still does it. But yeah, big improvement last year, which is normal for a talented rider of that age. And they need her to kick on because I think in the Hill Classics, Longo Borghini needs a bit of help. She needs Deignan to also come back in full shape, but then still, I don't know how you beat Gobecki and Vollering. But what do you think they're missing, Benji? Do you think Balsamo, like, she should have a comeback next year because she's not dotting this stat sheet with wins that I'm looking at. She won one World Tour race, which was the Simac Ladies Tour Stage 1, but that was in September. In 2022, when they won 34 races, which is by my maths 250% more, or can I do maths 2.5 times more? She won Ken Wevelhem and Brugge de Panne. Do you think she can bounce back, or is the combination of the SD Works riders just too strong in the classics? Like, because all right now, Vibers looks as versatile in those races as Balsamo.
Yep. If not more versatile, to be honest, in the last year. And that makes it difficult. And that's what I kind of alluded to at the start of this podcast, that I don't see that at the moment. She needs to properly step up. And at the moment, I don't have that in view. So that doesn't mean she can't do it, but it's like, it's not just Wibuze. It's Wibuze plus Kopecky and Vollering, three of which are riders that are better at what they do individually than what the riders at Trek do individually. So Wibuze is better than Balsamo in my head. Vollering's better than Elisa Longoborghini. And Kopecky is better than any rider they have in their team when it comes to classics as well. So that entire combination, that's the difference. It's not just one leader versus Trek riders. It's not that one Trek rider is better than one of those leaders on SD-Works. It's also, they need to step up all of them. And it's like, is it a weird comparison that I'm saying that the palmarès of Little Trek on the women's side kind of reminds me of the palmarès of maybe Bahrain on the men's side, where they're very good when it comes to consistency in GCs, and like Buitrago getting a podium at an LBL at some point in previous years, that kind of stuff. That seems to me what the 2023 season of Little Trek is like, and what they're missing is victories.
They don't have a lot of people with a fast sprint, and a lot of their best riders aren't that in Riolini, Longoborghini, and co. So with Balsamo being off, there's a lot of wins out the door. But let's get into, it was a big difference between their 2022 season, and we've outlined the various reasons for that, some outside of their control, which might reverse back in 24 rather. Some a function of team construction and the other team getting more dominant in a women's peloton. But here are their transfers for 2024. Out Taylor Wiles, who retired. She was a long-standing domestique. And Taylor Nibb, also an American, who I don't know who she is.
The research that I found was that she joined midway the season last year as a triathlete, an American triathlete, and she's gone again. So I was the same. I hadn't seen her in races. and then suddenly she was in the roster, and I only found out she was in the roster when she left. So I was like, who the fuck is this? But hey, it didn't work out apparently because she's leaving, but I don't know what the reason is behind that. Anyway, those are the outgoing transfers, and two outgoing transfers and six incoming transfers. That shows a team growth in the amount of riders in the team. Doesn't usually happen, but I guess on the women's side, it's more likely to happen because we see the rosters expand to try and be able to participate in all those races that are being made on the women's side, because there's a hell of a calendar at the moment to be able to line up more than just the four riders that SD-Works sends sometimes. So Clara Caponi, number one, incoming. She's a FDJ sprinter that's coming over, and it always felt like Caponi was kind of the rider that at the Tour de France Femme could end up finishing fifth or sixth in the sprint. I don't see it yet when it comes to going higher than that, but maybe a switch from FDJ into a new environment can bolster her into something that better than what she was before. I feel like when it comes to her versatility, she's not the most versatile rider, but I remember her being present in the finals of an Omloop in the past, so those smaller cobble classics that are sometimes won by sprinters, I would see Caponi also doing well. So it's kind of a second sprinter being added to the team, and maybe that will help with some smaller victories throughout the year, which I reckon they could use.
Yeah, I think so. Like, you just, as I said, we already said, you need more sprinters. Like, sprinters equal wins if you send them to the right schedule. So I think she's not too bad, and I'm keen to see how she goes, but they needed someone of that profile. She's also the right age. She's 25. She had a good 2022, maybe some bad luck or crashes in 23, but she still came top 10 in Genevelen. So, like, you have to be half decent rider to do that. So I think that's a decent enough signing, but she's quite, she doesn't have that like raw power, obviously, of a Vibuze, but no one really does. I think when I look at the overall team construction, and you're going to get into the young riders that are coming in a second, but it's very, I don't know what the opposite of a bell curve is, but it's a bell curve. So you know you got a bell curve, right? And you have like a smaller distribution at the tails, and then more in the middle. It's like the opposite of that, in that they
an
have
inverted
580.
Bell curve.
Inverted bell curve. They have five 18-year-olds who are joining, And then they have four riders over 34, some turning 37, which is, and all of those older riders are leaders. And I'm not saying women's is different. We've seen with Van Vleuten. I'm not saying these riders are going to be washed in a year. In fact, I think Van Dijk is going to be very good again. And Brand could still possibly win Roubaix, but it's just, that's the distribution of their team with the super young riders coming in, like 18, yeah, and then some of the older leaders, will they be there in 3, 4, 5 years? I'm not sure. And whereas the middle sort of 23 to 28, I would say Balsamo is the main rider in that category. Now, obviously, there, as I'll repeat again, there are, yep, exceptions. Like Brody's 32, but Brody's kind of like, she started riding in World Tour in 2020. So she still has some margin, I think, and she's still performing really, really well. And she was Aussie champ last year. So that's something to bear in mind as well. It's not the same as men's cycling, but I think it's also worth considering as well. Like, that's why I think Capone is a decent sign. But who are the young riders that I mentioned and alluded to coming in, Benji?
An Australian starting off, Felicity Wilson-Haffenden, junior world champion time trial, and she did that 17 seconds ahead of Izzy Sharp, a British rider, also 18 years old, also joining Little Trek. So they just signed the top two of that TT junior worlds. But outside of that, Izzy Sharp also won Junior Gent Wevelgem and was fourth at the Junior Alfredo Binda. So it's a bit of a classic / one day racer. I don't know the profile of Alfredo Binda by heart, where the junior race that is, because I reckon it's still a relatively punchy race. So it's a bit of a combination of those two, cobble punchy in Gent Wevelgem and relatively punchy in Alfredo Binda there. And then we go to the rest of the riders. We have Fleur Morse. She's won the Junior European Championship. So they're just signing whoever does well in the Continental and World Championships, which usually is a solid indicator at how good a cyclist is. And Fleur Morse also is pretty good.
That's what Trek always does.
Yep. Fleur Morse also pretty good at CX. So that's also an added bonus for... And she's Belgian. That's 50 watts extra at every race she's at. So that's important to... Oh God, is it Canadians? Am I being stupid? I think it's Canadians, right? Ava,
yes,
Holger?
Yes.
Yes.
That's the flag of Canada, yeah.
Of Canada.
Canada, yeah.
Ava and Isabella Holmgren. I think Ava's better, but I'm not sure. As in, Ava podiumed, I don't know why I noticed, because I don't actually follow CX, but I knew that she actually podiumed a CX race, Trophée Bau, X2O Trophée, in CX behind Van Empel and Brand, which, that sounds relatively competitive to me. And I think Isabella got 9 for something in that race. So they're pretty okay in CX, apparently pretty talented at the age of, I reckon also 18. I think they're twins because they're both born on the 22nd of May.
Yeah.
Unless their mom was, I don't know how that would work. That's impossible if they're not twins. So this is going into a biological question.
I think Isabella's looks better, no?
Really?
She beat her in the Canadian Junior TT Champs.
Maybe it's a discipline thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. But anyway, they're joining. They're also super young. And they, I think, are more going to be GC riders, if I had to guess. They, one of the most important junior races, or not important, but like had a strong start list, is the, I'll try to pronounce it, Bizkaiko Loriak. It's a Basque junior stage race. And that was won by Julie Bego, who's like hugely touted prospect. She joined the Cofidis team and she's like, she's a gun. She won World Champs Junior Road Race 2 weeks after that. And Kat Ferguson was second, who's also a gun. So that is, Isabel Holmgren was good there. And I think Ava came like 12th or 15th or something. So I think they're more stage races.
Okay. And as a list of incoming transfers, so a very big focus on youngsters, which I think is good. I like that. And it's also, Clara Copponi strengthens the side of the team that needs strengthening. And when it comes to the other part of the team, let's be honest about it. It's like they have the riders to be able to perform better than they did in 2023. So it's just about getting the riders that didn't ride, like in Ellen van Dijk, to to perform after her maternity leave. Because let's be honest about it. If she's at a Tour de France Femmes and there's a time trial, she's likely to win that time trial. So it's all that kind of stuff combined with Balsamo coming back, with all those riders riding at form again, Dainen as well. That could deliver, but are they going to upset SDWorks necessarily? I don't see it right now. So, but that brings the question to me. There's loads of people out of contract. Their contracts in women's cycling are shorter. They're lengthening a bit. And then we now see longer contracts for Van Empel, for example. But I was looking into the contract situation at SDWorks as well, and they're just half their team is on sale. That's a weird way to say it, but also their leaders, right? Because that's something we didn't really stamp on, but Vollering, Kopecky, Reusser, all out of contract next season.
Let's get an investment fund together, Benji. Like, the ROI's got to be good.
Yeah,
I would pay Vollering $1.5 million, $2 million.
And then fill the rest of the team up with 18-year-olds.
Yeah, with 50-kilo 18-year-olds who can ride 5 watts per kilo. And then you just literally walk to the base of the Mount AC climb the tour. I say,
yeah. The problem is, if there's echelons, all your domestiques are gone.
Doesn't matter, Vollering. She's so strong. She, like, unless they stop for a pee break and have a coffee for 2 minutes and then complain to Mother Star. Like, can we just go about it? What were they thinking? Like, the whole team. They threw that. But yeah, I think Vollering is like, she's better than she even showed in the tour last year. Because if they'd actually had riders to, like, Fisher Black to nuke the Tourmalet, she could have won by, I don't know, a lot.
Yeah.
That's by the by. But yeah, Trek, I mean, yeah, Trek or Longaboghini, you've got Balsamo on the contract. There's no way that I can see Van Dijk, Dagen, and Spratt changing team at this point. So it's really whether they want to continue for another couple of years. Backstedt's an interesting one, Benji. You reckon she goes to Canyon SRAM?
I don't know. Can't tell you that. Well, I don't know how much
you can speculate.
I will speculate that I don't know how much your parents matters in your transfer. For Zoe, it mattered.
Yeah, I mean, so that's, I wouldn't be surprised if she went to Canyon SRAM. Let's just say that. At the end of this year, she's one of the youngest rider out of contract.
Wait, there's another one on UNOX. No, am I stupid? No, that's Barker, right? Eleanor. Jesus.
Nearly. Okay. What do we expect from them in 2024, Benji? We've said they've got a lot of young talent coming in. What do we expect from them? I would set a goal as winning the Tour de France Femme Queen stage and third on GC with Gaia Riolini.
I think
that's
every
a good goal.
Podiuming every of the big stage races, so every one of the what you could consider the Grand Tours.
How are they going to do that?
Well, they podiumed two of them this year with Riolini and ELB, so it's only about getting closer to the France Femme.
True.
So, and I think Riolini's riding all three of them according to her temporary schedule, which could be wrong.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, I would say more victories and winning a classic outside of Alfredo Binda. Winning two classics, fuck it.
Two World Tour level 1 day races. So, like, that includes Plouay, that includes everything Hill Classic.
Because, like, are we expecting Van Dijk to show up for the Tour de France Femme knowing she's going to focus on the Olympics ITT?
Yes, because it's after the Olympics. So she will do the TT first and go to the go to the Tour de France.
Yeah.
I would think.
And it's not like the Omnium, which means that the traveling makes it difficult.
Don't know what an Omnium is, but I'll take your word for it. is that some sort of Pokemon?
Yes.
So yeah, I think 20 over 20 wins is like has to happen. And also, I don't know how many over 10 world tour wins, I think, as well. So they have to, they just got to win more and be better. And also then sort of less objective results would be developing, is he sharp? Can she immediately step in and be not a co-leader, but doing being involved at the pointy end of major global classics? The Holmgren twins, how do they go? Can they be a good climbing support for Riolini or ELB? All of those things, as well as, you know, Balsamo. I think getting her back on the level has got to be like the one of the most important things for them this year. She's signed through the end of 26, and she kind of had an unfortunate year last year. That's got to be one of their big goals. That's Trek, Benji.
That's the sound of another sale on Shopify in store. Shopify POS is everything you need to sell in person. From payments to inventory, Shopify unites your sales into one commerce platform. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail23. shopify.com/retail23.
Let's move on to Movistar now, who also, I think, no, not also, I think they had a really, really good year, and it wasn't just AVV as well. How was their season, the second best team in women's cycling?
Honestly, if you take a look at their season, they have 20 victories, 9 of which are World Tour victories, 6 of which are Annemiek van Vleuten of those World Tour victories. So if we then look into what they won, you said it, van Vleuten didn't necessarily have the best Tour de France femme. Her GC fell through, relatively. And stage-wise, she didn't win a stage. It was Norsgaard and Lippert. Norsgaard in that attacking move, and Lippert in that little sprint against Kopecky, where Kopecky then said she had a flat tire that didn't fully look like a flat tire. I think it was that day. But
Jakobsen.
Flat tire gate. Jakobsen is chain.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Jakobsen. They keep installing chain catches on his bike. He's got 4 chain catches around his front derailleur, and he keeps dropping his chain. It's unbelievable.
Anyway, they won La Vuelta and Girodon with AVV. La Vuelta was the famous P gate that we hinted at earlier already. But outside of that, Girodon with AVV, like, if following is not there, I expect AVV to win GCs.
Yes. But I feel like it was a bit closer this year. Well, there was a second rider who dropped her on a mountaintop finish this year, not just following.
Niedermayer?
Riolini.
Oh.
On
what did Niedermayer do against Van Vleuten in the Giro?
I can't remember if that was uphill. But anyway, it seemed like the difference was a bit closer between her and the other riders. Maybe her level stayed the same, and I think what actually happened is others came up to the level or closer to it. But still, she won all these races. And when you look at, if you look at the power data compared to her and Vollering, and as an overall rider with the TT and the sprint, for her to win 2 of those major stage races with Vollering out one of them, really, really impressive. And I think that goes to, I think, like, the best stage racing team in terms of tactics is probably Movistar women's team in terms of, like, getting rouleurs like Bianic around a leader, protecting them, identifying crosswinds, like, sort of the GC focus. I think they're really, really good at.
If you don't
have the legs, it doesn't matter in the end, but I think they had a pretty good year. It was also good to see Norsgaard win a major race, because she's always been like quite close, and then she didn't really like kick on to be like Balsamo did in the classics, you know. And at least for her to win in the break was really, really good.
I don't know. I feel
Lippert as well, the same way.
I feel like Norsgaard was more going to be like a Kopecky in the early parts of her career.
Yeah, me too.
Because I never believed in the full out sprint. or I expected her to be like the BTEC sprinter, the Kopecky kind of sprint, because Kopecky's not the fastest sprinter, let's be honest about it. Weebs is, and Kopecky gets 4.45 in like a pure sprint, roughly. Maybe 5 here and there. But that's the same for Norsgaard, and that's how I viewed that, and I expected her to be better in a Roubaix, for example, those type of races, but she's had some bad luck in those. But you're right, she stepped up with a Tour de France fun stage victory, and that's a big victory. And it's also that even with Van Vleuten not winning, she's still close. And I think we were mostly a bit, not negative, but we noticed that she wasn't at her best during the Cobble and Hill classics, mostly. Because there she was at moments just not as competitive, and she would drop earlier than usual. And then eventually she got back to level 4, well, relatively back to level, because I feel like we never really saw the best Van Vleuten in 2023, I would say. So, but that being said, we're going from their results, which was a season where I agree would be that's still a good season, but they would probably would expect it to be podiuming the Tour de France from at least. And then you look at the transfers, and there's one outgoing transfer, and let's be honest about it, it's a huge one, because Annemiek van Vleuten is leaving the team. She's retiring, and to go over her palmarès for a second here, I've got it in front of me. 2 World Championships, road race, 2022, 2019. 2 ITTs, 2017, 2018. 4 times the Giro d'Italia, Don Juan. 3 times the Vuelta. 2 times RVV. She won La Course twice. She won the Tour de France Femme last year. She won twice LBL, twice Trade, 16 Giro d'Italia stages. That's... I don't know how close that is to Vos. I think Vos is almost at 100. Nah, probably like 30 or something, if I recall correctly. But it's also a different type of rider. I will never have the answer to this, but who in your eyes is the GOAT? Vos or Van Vleuten?
Like just personal preference, not based on me like scrolling through and doing like a objective comparison side by side. I always prefer
at this very moment, in these 3 seconds that I give you, what name comes up if I tell you GOAT of women's cycling?
Vos, but in reality, that's just more a personal preference. But I think...
For me, Van Vleuten comes up.
Yeah, I think the stage race, I think stage races are more important and GC is more important. But, so it goes against what I actually think is more what I feel.
But I know that it's probably Vos more than Van Vleuten, because I've just watched most women's races in the last 5-ish years. And that's post-Rio, when Van Vleuten hit the deck, but was fucking good afterwards as well. So,
Luke screaming anti-Dutch bias regarding our answers to that one.
What do you mean?
It's a joke. They're both Dutch.
Oh. The joke was horrible.
Like every fucking good rider in women's cycling.
Except Kopecky.
Except
and who's world champion? Not a
exactly.
Dutch rider.
Smoked them. Smoked them. Okay.
Get fucked, Luke.
Jesus, that's aggressive. But yeah, as I said, it was. I think they had a pretty good season. The classics team was not as good in terms of results, but pretty good season. Obviously, missing a sprinter, but I'm pretty sure Telefonica, in their sponsorship contract with Movistar for both the men and women's race, they're not really allowed to sign sprinters. Got to be GC and some versatile riders like Norsgaard. Okay, and Lippert was good as well. Transfers. I got some funny news for you, Benji. They've also signed identical twins. The Holmgrens are not as identical. The Ruiz Perez sisters, they are identical as well. If you look at their PCS photo, it's like, it's hard.
They could do a Yates.
They are really identical. They're 19. Lucia is the better rider. I think she did really well. Did pretty well in the Spanish national sort of level races. But that was where she was, I think, riding against older riders some of the time because they were Obviously, yeah, she had like a pretty hard calendar. I think she was first year U23 last year. So that's a difficult year to actually perform well. And she was pretty decent. They've signed in, they're both Spanish, obviously. And so we'll see how they go. But the big, big signing is Kat Ferguson. Where is that showing?
Yeah. That is not even on the list. But that is a big signing, actually.
It's because she... Oh, it's not showing because she's joining as a trainee in August.
Yeah.
Because she's 17 now.
At some point, they're going to get 12-year-olds in these bloody World Tour teams. But she is joining from August. She was at their training camp already, if I recall correctly. I'm pretty sure I saw Movistar tweeting that she's present there. So is that child labor? I don't know, but I'd look into it. Anyway. Yeah, she's good, eh?
She's a beast. She won Tour of Flanders Juniors. She won the final stage in Monde of Tour de Gouvernant Occitanie, where she, although she was beaten in the first stage by Julie Begaud and Venturelli, who I mentioned Begaud already in this podcast as a big prospect on Cofidis. Sixth at Rafa Lincoln Grand Prix, which I think is like open. Maybe it's U23, but I'm pretty sure it's open. Second at Gent Wevelgem, one Binder as well, just like second in that Biscay Coloriac Basque race. She was one of the most hotly contested riders to sign to get her signature. She's on a 3.5-year deal, including the 6 months this year.
Good.
So that's a long NeoPro contract.
Good sign for the women's side of cycling, because it's been years where there were 1-year contracts everywhere. So more and more riders are getting 4-year contracts, 3-year contracts. And I think that's good evolution, because it's not only job security, but it also shows that there's more sponsor security for teams, no?
Exactly.
Or they're risking it.
I think they're doing the right thing. And so, yeah, she's like a big, big prospect. And I think that's, they're thinking she's the replacement for Van Vleuten, or could be in the future. Otherwise, they sign Olivia Baril from ADQ, Benji, also from the Mystery Nation. What do you think about that signing?
The Mystery Nation of Canada. I don't know. She's a pretty versatile rider, if I recall correctly, but I also see her being the bit of a... It's difficult, because she was third, seventh, and fifth at stage in Etulia, which means you can properly climb. Fourth in GC. But I still need to be sold that she can be... If she's GC leader at any race, I think it's at the smaller World Tour races. Because at the moment, I see her
pretty good
as a supportive rider to Lippert at races and so forth, that kind of stuff. Am I underrating her?
She looks like a pure stage racer to me. And I think she's 26, was on UAE for 1 year. I got her 1 year after she was on Valcar. First year in World Tour, already winning races, already top.
Yep.
You know, as you said, that Basque result is good. So I think I'll surprise UAE didn't extend her. Maybe Movistar had more money too, but I think that's a good signing. She's good. Claire Steele's also came from... I always say Steele, like she's Tom Steele. She's British. Claire Steele's. She has come over from Israel on a 3-year deal. She just turned 37. But the reality is, last year was her first year in World Tour. So like,
fun fact,
she's probably still margin for her to improve.
Yeah, I fully agree. And she's also, I feel like she's always performed better than I initially expected her to do, like top 20s in GCs and Hill Classics. That's on point. And I just wanted to say, did you know that it's not actually Tom Steels?
What do you mean? That's not
it's
his
Tom
name.
Tom Stales. Yeah.
Now I know. Now can it have me even more confused? I also have like, I have a lot of mental notes this year about Claire Steeles, where Claire Stales, where she like was really strong in particular races, was out in front, and then sort of got swamped at the end, or got rolled in the sprint, and maybe her PCS doesn't show it. I feel like I have a lot of those mental notes from last year, so I'm keen to see how she goes. Big vote of confidence in her. It was a 3-year deal, and so Movistar building for the future. Once again, and as I said, it's GC focused.
Yeah.
With I think all five of those riders, Beryl Steeles, Ruiz Perez sisters, and Ferguson. Ferguson maybe more Cobble Classics or Hill Classics as well. But I think it's all GC really.
Yeah, but is it a hopeless attempt at replacing Van Vleuten in the aggregate, which will never happen?
I mean, I guess they to your point, Ben. I mean, there's no rider like Van Vleuten on the market, so there's right. no. It's not like we say, oh, why didn't you pay all the money for Van Vleuten 2.0? Well, I think they thought they had Van Vleuten 2.0, and her name is Sarah Gigante. We haven't mentioned that. What happened there with her and Movistar? They reached an agreement. Seems very cordial. The agreement to break the last year of her contract, goes to AG Insurance, first race outside of Natty Champs, wins TDU. Now, I know it's TDU, but still wins on Wollonga, which is by far her, well, yeah, it's her biggest win by far. And whereas on Movistar, it just didn't work for a variety of reasons. And so why? Like, it can't just be, like, if she just had health issues, then Movistar would be like, that's fine. Stay with the team. Like, mm-hmm. we'll just support you through that and continue the project. You're only 23 years old. It must be something outside of that that made her want to change teams. And then now she succeeds straight away.
It's probably a combination of both. The words that she said around, was it STDU or the Australian Champs? Probably STDU. I think she said along the lines of, it just wasn't really the best fit for either of us, which is a line that suggests to me that there's more at hand than just the injuries and so forth, which is a shame. Let's hope it's nothing too bad on either end and that they relatively mutually agreed on this departure. I can't say much more with it without actually knowing the facts behind the scenes, you know, because like, could be anything.
But it's, yeah, that's a big sort of problem if she does turn into be the next Van Vleuten replacement. And I think there is the possibility that she can be at least definitely a top three climber in the world, even this year, you know, that they've let her go. But if she wanted to leave and it wasn't working, then what can you do? 2024 expectations for Movistar, Benji, with the GOAT leaving, replacing her results seems implausible. What do you think they should shoot for?
And the crazy thing is that I reckon they got the most out of the Tour de France Femme in 2023 already without necessarily having Van Vleuten as the all-rounding factor in that. So I reckon it's going to be hard to do better than the 2023 Tour de France and 2024 the Tour de France Femme. I think winning La Vuelta Girardon not happening with this team. So stage wins would be the focus, I reckon. And trying to win a classic with Lippert is always going to be the goal. Is her chance improving, knowing Van Vleuten is not in the team? I'm not so sure about that. Because we've been on both sides. We've been on both sides of the argument, I reckon, over the last 2 years.
I think when there's a mixed finish, she clearly gets more of the green light because, like, they would be sprinting against each other sometimes. So I think when there's a sort of 3K, 5% finish or 2K, 6% finish, Lippert is clearly like, that's her stage. She goes for it.
And GC too, you know, because, like,
She doesn't have the climbing.
She kind of has to.
And they're putting serious climbs in races, in all the races nowadays, which is good. I see her as more of a puncher still.
Then, I'm not saying that she can't get seventh or so at the Tour de France final,
but
you don't go out of bed for a seventh place at the Tour de France final. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Quite a few riders will.
Yeah. I think they should shoot for 15 wins and 7 World Tour wins. I know that's still pretty close to the 9 they have. Mm-hmm. I think they'll be a lower quality World Tour wins, but I think they can still shoot for 7. They're still one of the best teams in the women's peloton. And then obviously developing not just the riders that are coming in. And I'm still going to classify Claire Steeles as a prospect, Barilla as a prospect, even though they're not 19. I think developing them, seeing what they can get out of them.
Yeah.
Maybe they think Steeles is Van Vleuten. I don't know. I haven't seen her data.
I do expect her to have a step up, knowing she came from Israel. No offense to Israel Kogis, but that didn't seem like the top World Tour team.
Yeah.
They look like they got their World Tour license with their serial.
Maybe, yeah, true. That guy. They were dishing him out 2 years ago, and then they're going to relegate the team. It's like, maybe don't expand it and contract it. but yeah, maybe she doesn't have margin. Maybe she's been self-coached and riding super professionally for like 5 years. I don't know. That's the Movistar preview. Onto Canyon SRAM 2022. Just to remind you, this team, whilst maybe a fan favorite and very active in a lot of races, the Hill Classics, won a single race in 22. Not a typo, single race in 2022, which is a 1-1 in Durango in Spain. So that's where they were coming from.
Yeah. Now they're a different place. 2023, 8 victories, 3 of which are World Tour, and they are of a relatively high level, I would argue, because number 1, to the front stage with Ricarda Bauernfeind. Number 2, to Rodon stage with Antonia Niedermayer. And they were of high level, those races, knowing that these were two talents that everybody saw coming. From their Canyon SRAM generation team, their development team that they have under them, they brought them forward to their World Tour team. And even before that step happened, you knew that Bauernfeind was extremely talented, that Niedermayer was extremely talented. I was speaking to Adam Szabo, which is part of the staff of the generation team. I was speaking to him in Denia 2 weeks ago, and Ricarda Bauernfeind on the first training camp, I reckon, that she was on with the World Tour team, she was already the second time, I think, up Rates behind Vollering or something. So they already knew she had something special in her and clearly delivered with those two, but it's also, there's still more in it in my head. If they can win stages, Bauernfeind a breakaway stage, which I would have reckoned I saw her as a GC potential in the future. And Niedermayer, same thing. She then ended up crashing during the Giro, I think, after her stage win, if my memory serves me right. But it's such a shame because she's going to do amazing things if she can get to the level again after that injury. Because those two are the potential German duo that could upset World Tour in the coming years, right?
Yes, they're like the right size, age, already showing massive promise. I really hope they kick on. Niedermayer's what, 20 years old? And
she won a fucking Giro stage already.
Yeah. That stage was against AVV and Fisher Black. It was a 25K solo. So, big prospect. And they've always had a lot of young talent. Just some of it hasn't really, they've had Nivea Doma there since 2018 when she was 24. And she did win the Amstel with them in 2019 and Binder. But then, since Yeah, like she hasn't won since 2019. And I think for a rider of that quality, top 10 rider in the world in 23 by points, you need more. I think they need more wins out of someone like her. So it was a good season. They're back up with some World Tour wins and 8 victories. But I think they still got to then go into 24 thing. We got to convert some more of these, especially with our top riders, into wins, which is easier said than done against SD Works, because Nivea Dome is kind of in that phase where she's too good to really farm wins in other races. But then you say, oh, what, out of the Grand Tours, why doesn't she go, you know, try to win Romandy? Well,
Well,
she did go to Romandy. She came second, and Vollering beat her in the sprint on the mountaintop finish by 2 seconds, like on stage two. Like, what else is she supposed to do? And I think third in the Tour de France Femmes is actually much better than we all probably expected of her. In fact, it was a Hill Classics that was maybe a little bit worse than expected. 2024. Go on.
I want to add on to that also, like with Digert then winning a stage in Ride London, but outside of that, being such a talented rider, is just that her body keeps preventing her from delivering the results that we all expect her to deliver when she's actually in form. So I'm also once again worried for the 2024 season, whether she's going to start the season in form, whether she's going to be able to deliver at the highest level, because her body's preventing it at the moment. But I hope she has a solid season in that way, that she can finally get free of that. Because she her time trial world championships, if she was actually sick, which I wouldn't know why I would say that if you're not, then if you're not sick, you could have won by even more, which means that in other races this in 2024, if she delivers, if she arrives at the highest level, then she can also win loads of shit. So it's kind of like, and also,
well, you say that, but
go ahead.
She should have won more. Like, I swear she was so good in Burgos and Vuelta Femenina, and then at the Giro she was really consistent, but like not finding a way to win. Like, so many top tens, top fives, podiums in these stages. And I think she was in this weird mode where she didn't know whether to go solo. Like in the Vuelta, she didn't know whether to go solo with 3Ks to go, just ride everybody off her wheel, or wait for the sprint, where she was also pretty good. And she kind of did both in a few of them.
I'd excuse that to the fact that she might not have been adapted to the European racing style. Is that a thing? Is there a difference in the racing style between the limited American races that she did and the European World Tour races that she now has to show up for and deliver?
Yeah, I mean, she's 27 now.
Yeah, but
like, I know, but you're right. To your point, she had the crash and then probably just like trains a lot, and it's very different than going into those races. If you're not used to the bunch, but yeah, she's out of contract at the end of 24. Whether they re-sign her or not, I don't know. Obviously, her overall 4-year deal with, or 3 years so far with Canyon has been, it's not been a success. Like, it was a disaster from the start, where before she even raced, the sponsors were like, cooking her on social media. I did a video about that. When it's like, well, this is, you signed her, like, this is who she was before.
Yeah.
Before you signed her, so I don't know why you sign her and then be like, actually, we disagree with everything she said. I would be like, well, why did you sign her in the first place then? Everyone knew about this. It's not been a success so far, but huge talent in terms of, like, if you look at someone's 2-minute, 5-minute, I think she must have the highest compound score in women's cycling, which is like a 5-minute.
Yeah,
absolute power times watts per kilo of the 5-minute power, and 2-minute and 1-minute, and probably, yeah, she must have the highest.
Who else could come close?
Vibas in the 1-minute, and Capecchi, maybe Capecchi, yeah. Capecchi would be the closest. But I think even Digert, because Digert is the, I'm going to now stop pretending like I don't know anything about track. Who's better in the individual pursuit?
In the individual pursuit? Does Kopecky do individual pursuit? She does points race. She won points. She does Omnium. I don't think she does individual pursuit. So that would by default mean Dygert.
Yeah, Dygert won the Worlds, I think, fucking with one leg last year. And that's a, what, 4 minute, 4.5 minute event for the women, 4:20. So, yeah, I would say her compound score is the best until Kopecky beats her in Paris in that event. Although Kopecky wins on the road all the time.
For the people that don't know, why compound score? For the people that don't know, why does it matter?
Oh, it's just like a one metric that is indicative of overall performance in cycling, in that many races, maybe not that, because that is a different, that's more a measurement less of your 5 minute, you know, less of a short duration power, but more of your threshold power. So for example, like Vollering will have a higher compound than Van Vleuten, but Van Vleuten's threshold at peak might have actually been pretty close to hers, but it's just a lot of races that are decided on your 5 minute power. Hill classics, basic sprints, even uphill sprints, on the flat. So we'll see what happens with her this year. Obviously the talent is there. What do you think about their transfers, Benji?
Well, first of all, outgoing transfers, Sarah Roy and Sarah Roy. I just pretend that she was Dutch for a second. Sarah Roy, he's going to Cofidis. I don't think Sarah Roy leaving will move the needle. She's had good years. She's been a solid rider as well at Canyon, but I think she's replaceable is what I'm trying to say. Paulina Royakkers is a bit of an interesting one because 2022, she was bloody strong at races where she was better than Vollering at a certain race, I reckon. And I reckon it was Flesch that she was really good, if I recall correctly. But she struggled to resurface that in 2023. She had some solid results, but nothing outstanding again. So I think 2023 Royakkers is replaceable. 2022 you'd rather keep. And then we look at the incoming transfers, and it's just a rider that comes up from their development team. Justina Chapla is, I hope, the correct pronunciation, from the Canyon-SRAM Generation team. But I don't know 100% what the point of... I know that she's going to the Welter team, but I don't know what the argument was for doing that. As in, yeah, she's a solid rider. She's got no crazy results, though, that would shout, okay, she's Welter level ready. So it's kind of like, in my head, okay, we want to get someone from our generation team into Welter, and she's the best candidate at the moment to do so. But not necessarily, would that rider show that she 100% deserves to be in Welter? That makes sense?
Yeah. But I guess she's had some decent track results, decent TT in juniors. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's not the results aren't jumping off the page either.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, to your point. So they still need Thomas Deeks and decent riders. But
is this the first team that lost strength in their? It's negligible in my opinion, the strength that they lost, but. Lost.
Oh,
riders.
No, definitely. Royakkers is what, one of their best 5-6 riders? Yeah. At least?
Yeah. Meh, so. I don't know. One of the. They've got a few good riders now these days, but I somewhat agree. Sixth, probably. Yeah. Fifth.
So, in terms of like Hill Classic support. Yeah, but she's not a prolific winner either. She won 2 races in her career across. Basically riding since 2012 for Bulls Selmers, Dolman's Bulls. So what do we expect from 2024, Benji?
I would reckon that I expect to step up from Niedermeyer and Bauernfeind from being stage race riders to even better GC riders, because whilst Bauernfeind got that stage win from the breakaway, we can't forget that she was so consistent during that race that she ended up 9th in GC at the Tour de France Femme in her first year, which in my head shouts that if progress continues, fuck it, hot take. She podiums the Tour de France Femme next year, this year.
Okay.
Together with Nivea Doma on the second step.
That's a very, very hot take.
I think Nivea Doma podiums the Tour again. I can't see her beating Vollering.
Yeah.
Unless SD Works have a major issue. Whether she beats Riolini or not, I think is pretty possible.
I want the Riolini hot take.
You want a Riolini hot take?
Yeah.
Well, I said she win the Queen stage. Man, that's not that hot a take.
That's not that
she
hot.
Podium. Well, I think she'll be here. I don't really have one. She's a pretty good climber who has severe limitations on the flat. And sometimes Drake make her be a domestique for riders worse than her. Hopefully that stops now.
Will she podium the Tour de France from
Riolini?
Yes.
Yeah. Really, the podium will be Vollering, Nivea Doma, Riolini.
Okay, yeah, my podium will be Riolini, Baronfeind, Vollering.
Man.
I want the world to burn.
They're just going to attack Riolini on the descent. I want ciclismo, okay?
Yeah, Vollering drops Riolini at the start of a descent, and it's 5 minutes by the bottom.
Her and Nivea Doma are just going to drop her.
Yeah,
seriously, like it's. But they know what to do.
Didn't Baronfeind have the same issue in Valenciana? Am I stupid?
I don't know.
I vaguely remember something with Baronfeind that was also like, meh.
Oh, they also had Shari Bassoit. I forgot she was on this team.
Yeah,
so she's out with the doping positive.
She's still on the roster on the website.
Yeah. So.
But she's going to be suspended for 2 years, eh?
Yeah, she'll be suspended for 2 years. So she also was like their best classics rider, no? 15th in Omloop, 5th in Brugge de Panne, 10th in Gent Wevelgem. So that's
Maaike
also...
van der Duin was pretty good at Gent Wevelgem, but I think she... I know she broke her ankle because she was in the bike garage of the hotel I was in because Canyon Schramm was staying there. She was doing like Zwift rides to get back into... And she was still limping a little bit, but she should be back.
She was third there.
I don't know when she's back, actually. I think it was early March or something. Am I stupid?
Yeah.
When is that race? GP Utingen, when is that?
I don't know when that is. Luke will know.
Did you know that existed?
Nope.
Beginning of March.
But yeah, Maaike van der Duin looks like they're now their best classics rider for the upcoming year. But
yeah.
Whether how a spring is affected, we don't know exactly.
With Nivea Doma, eh?
I mean...
RVV.
Okay. RVV, yeah, but... Like a Gent Wevelgem Omloop.
Nah.
I don't see it. Van der Duin,
correct.
I think is better for that. But yeah, that's... They got a long, young, promising riders. I think they got to go for 10 wins. 3 World Tour wins again.
No.
Well, you think that's 10
underselling? 5 Welter wins.
Okay. And with the podiums and then maybe one of the young Germans steps up even more. I think you're right. I think I'm going to go for more. I'm going 15 and 6. 15 and 6. Because like Diger...
17 and 7.
Diger should be winning 5 races like this year.
I don't have confidence that she will stay injury-free again.
Injury-free, sickness-free. Hot take free, in an Olympics year, there's a lot of things that are sort of, could go wrong. With her, like how much will she be focused on cleaning misc transition stages in the Giro d'Italia?
I was about to ask a really stupid question.
Ahead of the Olympics TT and Olympics on the track.
For some reason, my head was about to ask the question. Is America riding the Olympics? For some reason, I was thinking it was like Eurovision or something.
Is it an election year?
Yeah.
What else is going on? Is it an election year? 2024?
I don't fucking know.
When is US election? American listeners probably like, how do
is
you not
Belgian
know?
Elections? Do I have to vote?
Do you have to vote in the American election? No.
I'm living
a
in
lot
the
of people
UK,
do on Twitter
that
don't
Belgium
live in
ones.
America. I don't know what do you have compulsory voting in Belgium?
If I don't go, no.
So it's not compulsory. In Australia, we have compulsory voting.
I think it was compulsory, but they didn't do anything if you didn't do it. So it's not really compulsory, is it?
Yeah, there's the United States primaries in 24, so...
What does that mean?
I don't really know.
Is that when each party selects their leader?
I think so. I think so.
But they also like, it's kind of like cycling, because then they select their head candidate, their leader, and then they need to kind of get endorsements from their domestiques in the same party.
Yeah.
Politics is like cycling.
Cycling is like politics, yeah, as well. But I'm exposing myself as like, I'm a very like, I focus on my narrow worldview of things that are within my control and affect me. So obviously I care much more about Australian and Andorran politics because
it affects you.
I've never been to America.
Yeah, me neither.
I wonder what it's like.
I don't care.
You don't care?
Like,
I'd like to go. I think we should imagine if we were American, Benji.
I don't really want.
Don't you reckon the show would be bigger? Or maybe no. I reckon the fact that you're Flemish and I'm sort of a neutral, not neutral, I'm a Australian, is kind of like,
you're a guest country.
It gets more of the Europeans on. Actually, we're not a guest country. We won the tour.
Oh.
When's the last time you won the tour? Long time ago, buddy. Cadell. Got a name.
Mate,
race.
You're talking to a hardcore Kid Evans fan, by the way. Yeah. I was a bigger Evans fan than you were.
How many races in Belgium are named after former riders? A lot. Think about
that. I know. How many races in...
Kid Evans Road Race.
I know. Why is the Tour Down Under not called...
Richie Port Festival of Cycling. All right. It's late at night, but Benji is. But that's food for thought. Maybe we should go to
Garen's.
Don't you think that would be an interesting video? Me and you going to America for the first time, just chronicling that? Like,
how long
can
we ride on a road and the road on Strava is just a straight road?
A long time. I don't want to do that. I'm not doing it. Wouldn't that be rude? Route 66 or something. But I'd have really big culture shock, I think, in certain places.
Would we end up at a casino, you think?
A casino?
Yeah. What do you do with Mauro Schmidt?
Yeah, we go to Las Vegas. Benji forgets to bring his podcasting equipment. And then I'm tweeting, what the fuck? We're supposed to be recording a podcast. This guy's at the casino.
And then you show
that they lost your baggage or something, and it was in there.
No, then I saw like a picture of my MacBook Pro, my MacBook microphone instead. That's the equivalent.
Yeah. Oh, we should do that. That'd be funny. Alrighty, we've reached the end. I hope you enjoyed this women's preview of the other three major teams. Any other thoughts, Benji?
Which team is the closest to beating Vollering? I think it's Canyon-Tram.
I think it's AG Insurance Sudal.
With Gigante, but you're Australian, I'll let you have that one.
I don't see the Germans or Nivea Derma beating Vollering. I think they're currently the closest to her, but then if there was one person who took like just a monster step up, it would be Gigante. But
I see them and find a Niedermeyer. I see that.
Yeah. Maybe. I think those three are the closest right now, but I think Gigante has the potential to move closer.
I see that. I see the potential there too, but I need more than Tour Down Under to show me that.
Yeah, yeah. And her watts, I don't think, were as good as her previous time up Willunga in terms of watts per kilo. Anyway. A lot to be excited about. Hopefully there's more of a, at least in terms of the GC races, people battling SD Works Pro Time, but with the retirement of Van Vleuten, I don't know. Certainly different names popping through. We've mentioned a lot of exciting names in this podcast, from Ferguson, the Holmgren twins, Izzy Sharp, existing riders like Niedermeyer and Balan Find, and sort of well-known riders like Steels or Baril, who I think can kick on as well. So I'm really excited to see them all performing in a lot of GC races this year. The Classics, I'm skeptical about the Classics. I think that might be an SD Works monopoly. They just announced they're sending, the only thing that for entertainment is them fighting each other. They're sending them all to the Hill Classics together, so that could be good. But hope you enjoy the podcast preview, and we'll see you with the first edition ever of our new weekly show on Monday. Until then, ciao.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.